Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Watcher Crappens ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today, none other than Mr. Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How's it going?
Hello. How are you?
I am great. I am finally back in my virtual office here. This is not my office. People ask me a lot. This is a good background I picked because people are like, Ben, we love your office. I'm like, thank you. It's not mine. This is a picture from the internet on a green screen. But I appreciate. Yeah, I'll just.
Why do you have
I'll
to lie? You don't have to. You don't have to tell the truth. This is the
I
internet.
Do.
You can be whoever you want.
No, I have to tell the truth at all times. But I will thank people. I will just take it as a compliment for my curation of photos. today we are talking about Below Deck Sailing Yacht. And of course we are on sale. Our shows are on sale for our tour. I don't know. I'm speaking Ramona voice, but I am. We may have some new cities to announce very soon to add on to it. We're all working on it frantically, but the tour is going to begin next month in January in San Francisco, which is very exciting. So get your tickets for San Francisco and San Diego. That's like a month away. And then we have the Golden Crappies on February 1st in Town Hall, New York City. It's going to be so much fun. Can't wait. Can't wait to dive into all that. So go to watchacrappens.com to get your tickets. And then, of course, there's a list of all the cities, many, many cities across North America, places like Philadelphia and DC and Salt Lake City. We're going back to Salt Lake City, places like that. It'll be so fun. So come join us for that, okay?
Okay. Also, we are recapping Sold on SLC, which I think five people watched, but
really?
We liked it. And it was like 100,000.
It was so good, people.
It's like 100,500 people watched it.
That's
I know.
Not fair.
It is good. We liked it. We laughed our asses off. It's over on Patreon and will be for the next few weeks. I mean, who knows, unless it gets canceled. But that'll be on over there. So join up for Patreon. That's where you get our bonuses, all that good stuff, and videos, which we're on today. Hi, everybody. Okay, So let's get on with the show.
Yes, so we are here and in Ibiza. Okay, so Chase has just come back on board, and Danny and Diane.
I forgot what a douche Chase is. Did you? I don't even remember this person. Listen, after a season of Below Deck ends, I'm like, it's all over. Whenever a season of anything ends, I do my Bravo duty, and I scrub my brain clean, and I forgive everything. I don't remember anything, except that I hate Kyle. Usually that's the only thing I remember from season to season. And I scrub my brain clean, and I start over. I did not really remember him. I mean, I remember him being tall, you know. And but then today I thought, why do people hate him? I mean, I've just seen a preview of Superman, the documentary about Christopher Reeve. Have you seen that? They made a documentary. No. It's called Superman.
I did not see that.
Because he was Superman. Wow. But also, he was a Superman because he overcame a lot. Okay. Yeah. But anyway, I was thinking, wow, he looks kind of like Christopher Reeve, the original, at least for my generation, Superman. And so I was like, why do people hate him? Christopher Reeve is a hero. He's like a national treasure. And then this episode continued to go. And I was like, he's gross. Mostly because he talks to people like they're babies, especially girls. He's like, hey, doing a great job. Don't drop that. It's like,
I think
very
he's just
Southern
like,
condescension.
I think he just requires too much attention. And he's just like... he sort of does a little bit of the camp counselor voice thing, and there's just like too much high energy. And I think that he thinks that everything he says is super funny, and it's not. It's just like annoying. It's just like an annoying energy. I just can't imagine having to wake up and deal with him like in the morning. Like that would probably be just like a full on nightmare.
Yeah. Hey, who came up first? You were the sun. God, I'll tell you what, you're prettier. Oh, he's just that kind. He talks to women like they're kids afraid at the doctor for the first time, or like afraid of getting their teeth cleaned. He's like, it's gonna be great, it's gonna be fun, hold this teddy bear. Hey, the teddy bear got your nose. Like he's just like that. Either get me a lollipop or get the fuck out of here.
He is terrible, but he is a good worker at the very least, and he has a nice big butt. So there are some upsides. So he is on, and for some reason, these two, it's not for some reason, it's just that these two girls just have no other options at this point. But they are fighting over him subtly. And of course, Danny is going to claim him first because that's what she does. She needs all the attention. She's kind of like a spoiled little brat. She is one of the most annoying people on Bravo right now. I'm just going to say this right now. She, like, every time she's on screen, I'm just annoyed. You know, like, there are some people when they're on screen, you hate them, and some people you love them. I don't hate her, but she just annoys me. To me, she's just like a tittering brat on my screen. Like, I can imagine working with her. Like, it's never good when watching her gives you the same reaction as working with her.
Yeah, and you're right what you said about her. I think right in the beginning, which was that she's one of those who causes a bunch of hatred in the workplace by like tattletaling and dropping hints about so-and-so and causing bad energy. Mm-hmm. And we really see that today. I mean, she's really all up in that today, causing bad energy all over the boat, causing fights wherever she goes. And then the second she's called on anything, immediately cries and is so sensitive, such a sensitive soul, and can't believe anybody's being mean to her. She's just so needy, you know? And she's one of those people I just feel like someone woke up one day and decided that feminism was just a phase. You know, and it's sad. I mean, there's just like a basic sadness there. Like all the people, all that trail of burnt bras, and here's fucking Danny, you know?
Yeah, I can't tell if she was given too much attention as a child or not enough attention, but something went wrong. Something went wrong with the calibrations, and now she's just this bratty stew. So anyway,
just imagine her getting good attention, because I feel like she's talking about, by the way, we're talking about Danny probably for far too long. Is it obsessive? Maybe. Who cares? So she, I think, you know, she's talked about how she was bigger for her whole life. I think she probably had like really nice parents who were like, you want some ice cream? Because I feel like bigger children have nice parents who give them ice cream. I mean, I was a big child. I don't know. My parents were always nice, but they did give me ice cream, and that's kind of nice. And then they were mostly nice. And then, you know, and then she got obsessed with the wrong things, like wanting to be accepted by cheerleaders, which she said she finally, you know, became a decent person when she went to a gym and started becoming obsessed with being a cheerleader, which she became. And that was her life goal. And I could just imagine her mom sitting on the couch with some ice cream being like, but you don't want to have ice cream with me anymore? She's like, no, mom, I'm thin now. No cheerleader. And her mom's just like, well, it's all right, but it's Chunky Monkey. You are. Now leave me alone. And then just ran off and smoked cigarettes in the car with other cheerleaders, didn't care, went and bullied people. That's how I think of it. So I don't blame her parents. But you know what? I will say this to her parents. Don't ever cry for being left alone with Chunky Monkey. That's one less little brat you have to share it with.
That's correct. You should always be thankful for what you do have. And if you don't have your child, at least you have your other two children, Ben and Jerry.
Exactly. And you know what? Your cousin, invite cousin Jenny over.
Oh my God.
She actually might be a little fancy, but you know, she's still good.
She's gonna really, you know, bring the party. When Jenny shows up, then you have a fun night. And you know what, you might as well invite that new strange German lady, Hagen. But like, you know,
no, I'm so sick of Hagen's Dawes. Like all she, it's like, hey, Hagen's, would you like some, would you like to go to dinner at a Chinese restaurant? Dawes. Would you like to go to dinner at an Italian restaurant? Dawes. Can I just get a straight answer out of you?
But you know who's really just going to kind of bring it, drag it all down with her like incessant cheeriness, but like not actually bring good conversation? Edie. Oh, God. When she shows up, it's like, Edie. Oh, God, Edie.
She's always bringing too much.
Yes, we heard about your dog. We know your dog broke its leg. Okay, Edie. Thank you.
And she's always trying to overfeed everybody. She's like, well, you know, I brought 9 quiches. It's like, why wouldn't you bring 9? I will say this about Cousin Jenny, though. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, please tell me about Cousin Jenny.
No, I want to hear about Edie.
Well, no, I'm just going to say Edie is just like, she's just like high energy, but like she just doesn't connect because she's from a different generation a little bit, you know? And so you try to, but like there's like a generation gap and it really shows. But the worst, the worst conversationalist, and you don't even know why he comes over, but he comes over anyway. And you're like, I didn't really, why do you come to these? You don't get along with anyone here. Briar. I'm like, why are you here? you know.
Breyer's
you
just like here. Overeducated, but like yes. in a smaller university, and he's just always bragging about it. You're like, oh my God, get out of here with your affordable education, Breyer. I know. We get to, like, he got five master's degrees. You don't want to move out of the basement, and it costs like $5 at that school.
Yeah, and he's got like that tweed jacket on with the patches on the elbows. It's like, Breyer, you're trying to be fancy, but like Jenny's here. She's our fancy friend.
I know. Jenny's like, Breyer, so good to see you. And everyone's like, oh my God, that's Jenny's I hate you voice.
Breyer's like, I'm preparing for my economics class that I'm teaching tomorrow. And everyone's like, oh, great. He's like, you guys know about Keynesian economics?
No. Evie's like, I knew someone named Kinsey. It was a girl, though. Is that her? Like her.
Edie's always trying to hook. Edie's, you know what? You know, when Breyer leaves the room, Edie's like, guys, we have to find someone for Breyer. I think we really, like, can we just put our heads together? I think we could really just get him on a date. And you're like, Edie, I don't want to set up Breyer. I don't care about Breyer. I don't even like that he's here.
I will say this about Cousin Jenny, though. Cousin Jenny sent Ben a lot of free ice cream and didn't send me shit. So, Cousin Jenny, well, you're done. I'm done with you, okay? Get out of my house. Get out of my house, you fancy fucking a-hole. Okay, so here we are. Below deck sailing yacht. So, Chase is checking on the transom. He's like, how's that transom look? Great, Gary, great. Gonna get some work done today. It's gonna be a great day, am I right, Gare? And he's like, you see that? That's it. It's huge. It's huge.
Chase and I didn't get too well along last season, but he's very stubborn and very stuck up, and he's not a woman, so, I mean, what's the point? But I'm going to try my hardest to work well with him, and if Chase is anything like he was last season, it'll be quite interesting.
So, we got four chatters left. Well, I guess that calls for a deck meeting. Am I right, boss? Yes, deck meeting, actually. Okay, you'll go in days. You'll do 2 days in a row. He'll do 2 days in a row. And that's how we do it. And Chase is like, whoa, cool. Let's smash it. I'm stoked. Oh, for fuck's sake. Just somebody push him over God. The deck. I can't.
I know. He really is like the male version of Edie's now. Now that we've all laid it out.
He's Edie's son, for sure.
He is
Edie's everybody.
Son.
Mom just dropped me off. Don't worry, she's still out front. Pretend you can't see her. She needs about 5 minutes to cry. She's going to miss me. God, someone stopped me from turning around and saying, bye, Mom, love you. Hair looks great today.
Well, because, you know, Edie is like, well, my son, Chase, he's working on a yacht in the Mediterranean. We're just so proud of him.
So Chase is like, well, you know, this time... Instead of trying to impress Gary, I'm going to just fly under Gary's radar. That's my plan. Okay, preference sheet meeting. Dun, dun, dun. Guys, this looks like a good group. Ronnie's the CEO from Chicago who's chartering Parsifal for a girls' trip to celebrate her 50th birthday, hopefully in a cave.
She expects Parsifal to be a floating 7-star hotel with the most attentive and knowledgeable staff. Well, Ronnie, this is on you because you're a CEO, which means that I'd like to think that you have some sort of brains about you, and you decided to throw your 50th birthday on a rickety ship that almost sinks every single season, and now you want it to be a 7-star hotel. That's like going to like the Red Roof Inn and expecting it to be the Waldorf Astoria. It's just not going to happen.
CEO, you need a COR, a chief officer of research, because this is not a floating 7-star hotel, no. Ma'am. Okay.
No, it's not. And honestly, even if this boat were in top condition with a top crew, it still wouldn't be a 7-star hotel because it's just a narrow sailboat. So you can only do so much in it. And by the way, I'm sorry. Last time I went to a top hotel, it didn't turn on its side and everything fell out of the drawers. That already deduces a star.
Yeah, you know what? Look, I wouldn't expect her to have the knowledge to Google Parsifal broken cabinet doors, okay? Because that's a little specific. I think one good thing to Google is to just always put the word gross at the end of your search and see what comes up. For example, nope. I've put in the search term Parsifal gross. Let's see what it says. Opera review. A Parsifal, even when Wagner phobic, can the sheer quantity of the stuff has gone kind of lurid elegance and a stage trick that might have turned Parsifal into Tarantino gross. Okay.
Oh God, you Parsifal got a Breyer's review.
Yeah. So Parsifal has 460 gross tons. Okay, that's acceptable. Let's see. And that's pretty much it. So she still would have failed. Okay. So
yeah, she's failed. She's failed with her research. I'm sorry. It's never going to be a 7-star hotel unless your stars are like near death experiences. In which case, you will definitely get a 7, if not a 10-star experience on this boat.
Okay. So I Googled Jenny's gross, but the only thing that came up here was a girl named Jenny Gross. Her name is Jennifer Elizabeth Jenny Reynolds, also gross, and she's a fictional character from the Australian drama series Winners and Loser. Who named somebody Jenny Gross? That's a little on the nose, isn't it?
Wait, the show is called Winners and Loser?
Winners and Losers.
Oh, I thought it was like Winners and Loser, like there was one loser on the show.
Jenny Gross.
Jenny Gross. Jenny Reynolds Gross. I know a Jen Reynolds, actually. But she's not
this
gross.
Is Jenny Reynolds Gross. It's different.
Jenny Reynolds
Your
gross.
Jenny's just really likes wrapping food up to keep.
Hello, I'm Jenny Reynolds Gross. I'd like to apply to be part of this Chicago corporation. I hear the CEO has a real good value when it comes to hotels. Or she values it well. God, I can't get it right.
So Ronnie, it's so weird seeing my name on screen because there aren't a lot of Ronnies in entertainment, I find, or on TV. Yeah. So I always find it weird. And I was like, is her name spelled R-R-O-N-N-I-E? I saw it weird at first. And I think it's because, I don't know, it's a trip seeing it. My face, my eyes wouldn't see it. So Ronnie, she is crazy. She wants, and she expects an attentive and knowledgeable staff, LOL. And then Gary is like, okay, an LD one that guest would like to enjoy a safe zone around even written. God, can we please stop making Gary read every episode? It's just fucking painful.
Like the preference sheet is now translucent with all the spit that has actually wound up on it. So day two, the guests would like to experience the St. Carmen boat procession. And Glenn says, it's a boat procession, so some added local flavor. I'm just having visions of this giant ass sailboat careening into all these boats because it can't stop because it's broken at all times. So then Cloyce is like, and on night one, the guests are looking forward to the chef preparing an impressive spread.
The stutter laugh. Oh, and Gary, they also specifically requested midnight snacks, and he's like, okay, cool. So he doesn't know what a Studio 54 birthday party is. I guess it's going to be Studio 50. But I Which guess I it's like, supposed to be Studio 54, but it's just, I guess they're being cutesy.
The off-brand one. It's the club that's next to Studio 54 that didn't quite do as well. Like when Andy Warhol was going to Studio 54, it was like Kyle Richards going to Studio 50. Kim's in Studio 54. Kyle's in Studio 50.
Yeah, it's the runoff. It's the Friends and Fans, the Bridge and Tunnel area.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Hello, ladies and germs, boys and girls. The Grinch is back again to ruin your Christmas season with Tis the Grinch Holiday Podcast. After last year, he's learned a thing or two about hosting, and he's ready to rant against Christmas cheer and roast his celebrity guests like chestnuts on an open fire. You can listen with the whole family as guest stars like John Hamm, Brittany Broski, and Danny DeVito try to persuade the mean old Grinch that there's a lot to love about the insufferable holiday season. But that's not all. Somebody stole all the Children of Whoville's letters to Santa, and everybody thinks the Grinch is responsible. It's a real Whoville whodunit. Can Cindy Lou and Max help clear the Grinch's name? Grab your hot cocoa and cozy slippers to find out. Follow Tis the Grinch Holiday Podcast on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Unlock weekly Christmas mystery bonus content and listen to every episode ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts.
I'm Lindsey Graham, host of Wondery's show American Scandal. We bring to life some of the biggest controversies in U.S. history. Presidential lies, environmental disasters, corporate fraud. In our latest series, entrepreneur Lou Pearlman becomes the mastermind behind two of the biggest pop groups in the world, the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC. He also oversees a sprawling business empire that includes a charter jet company, restaurants, and real estate. But Perlman's successful facade crumbles after he's sued by the boy bands for siphoning millions from them. And soon, investigators discover that Perlman is keeping his empire afloat through an even more devious scheme. Follow American Scandal on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Experience all episodes ad-free and be the first to binge the newest seasons only on Wondery Plus. You can join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify. Start your free trial today.
So Glenn tells us, and you know the second he goes, Studio 54, that was like the 70s, right? I went, cue the Afro pic. And sure enough, boom, here comes the black and white pictures of Glenn with his Afro, like a hair extra, talking about how he was groovy and went to a lot of discos.
I know. I was like, okay, an Afro picture in 3, 2, 1, there it is. So,
it's so by the way, all the stories like it's a are gift just, to me every time they do it, you know, which is delusional. But I'm like, thanks, guys.
I think Glenn needs to work. Well, actually, no, I was going to say he needs to work on his stories, but his cave story from last week was pretty good when he's like, yeah, I lived in a cave and there were some, like, you know, nurses in another cave and we would just like hang out. But like a lot of his stories, his arc is like, yeah, I love that. And we would just hang out. Like you could say, hey, Glenn, do you like dinosaurs? I love dinosaurs. Yeah, we just go see dinosaurs and then we just go hang out.
That's Glenn, like, okay. You know? That's how to live your life, I think. Glenn just finds himself in all these situations and he just is like, cool, man, and just goes with it and loves his life. I mean, his story last week about how he could have stayed in a hostel, but he chose to stay in a cave because it was just fun and he could party with the Australian nurses down at the other cave. That's just, I just love that.
You know? All his stories are like that. Like, there's no story, there's like literally no other story for him. It's like, Glenn, have you ever been to a trolley museum? Oh, yeah. No, God. I used to go to trolley museums all the time. Yeah, we loved it. We'd go there. We'd just hang out and have fun. It's like, oh, okay.
Another I lived place, in the trolley for a while. What an experience. Right. I knew some Australian nurse trolleys. We'd all hang out together.
That's great.
Keith, who's still on the show, but we don't see Keith anymore because he no longer has a romance storyline. And this show hates people without romance storylines. It will not give them any attention. So Keith is just off. I mean, I think he's gone now. When we first saw Keith in this episode, I was like, did he get hair plugs? Like, has he been off screen for that long that he actually went and got a hair transplant?
I did notice he just disappeared. I'm like, I guess they can really only have like one pasty, tall white guy with a very mediocre personality at a time. They're like, we can't showcase two of them at once.
Well, below deck is legalized human trafficking. We've known it for years, where they hire people to be on the show, and if they don't fuck each other, they're out. And that's just it. You know, that's what they want. They expect her to be a love line. We heard rumors that there are like bonuses for people to have love interests on this show. I don't know that I necessarily believe that, but I don't believe it, right? And right. I think we saw it when they had Winter House Below Deck style this past season, which ended up getting it canceled. But when they tried the Below Deck people and every person came on like, okay, who am I going to fuck? Who is it? Like, literally, it's like, it's my job. I just always felt so bad. Like, it shouldn't be that obvious that that's your job. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So Diana, meanwhile, is telling us, I usually date guys that are tall, that are fit, that have private armies in Russia. Very similar to Chase. So yeah, you know, I have an eye on him. And Diana gets back
to
her.
So annoying. This is why I don't feel bad for Diana at all in this episode. So original, Diana. Wow. You do? Oh my God, Diana, you like guys that are tall and fit? That's crazy. Wow, good luck. That's a really unique order. I hope they're able to find that for you.
You know, Diana then gets back to her patented way of flirting, which is wiping down the bar and staring at it and not looking around. What? I'm doing my best move. Scowling and wiping the bar.
You wouldn't last 2 seconds in my country. Okay, well, good to meet you. So Danny, eh? And she's like, Chase, where you from? And he's like, South Carolina. Know where that is? She's like, no, but I can imagine it's South. A bunch of Texans taught me a drinking game. I can't remember what it was, but we basically drank, gave each other lap dances, made out, and braided each other's hair. Want to play it? Sit on my face. Get over here. You won. You won the drinking game. Get over here.
Yeah, then they start flirting. He's like, yeah, well, I got a couple drinking games up my sleeve. And she's like, well, you better bring them to the table because this group's been pretty hard to get going. You know what I'm saying? She's like, oh, yeah, well, you don't have to worry about me. It's the other way around. I got to worry about staying professional. Stay away from me.
Oh, my God. Thank God. I'm real man. I could give you a real hug. God, a man who drinks. And he's like, well, I'm not drinking like that this year, though, because I really want to behave. She's like, oh, yeah? Well, if I see you're the first one going to bed on crew day or whatever, you're going to get it, mister.
Get away from me, Satan. You're not going to get me in trouble, okay? Okay, throw both these people overboard. They are such annoying flirters. Like,
the next time I want to see these two is on a billboard that says gonorrhea really big on it.
Gonorrhea is forever. Honestly, I can't even believe I was making fun of Diana's way of flirting, because like, if only we could be so blessed to have these two flirting quietly like that, because these two are so obnoxious together.
Yeah, and I respect Diana's kind of flirting, because that's how I flirt. I flirt like this. Just make a really judgmental face at somebody and then sigh, and then I'm like, what, how could you go from, you know, I wanted him.
I know. It's like, couldn't they tell when I didn't talk to them at all? So
can't they tell that I just stood in a corner and gave them a really judgy, horrified look all night?
So Diana's like, oh, for fuck's sake. So, and then Danny's like, my prayers have finally been answered. I have a lot of feelings running through my body, and most of them are in my lower half, under my skirt. So, isn't it hilarious? And Chase's like, oh, she's a wild card, and she's trying to get me in trouble already. So, then Davide is in the galley, and he's with Glenn, and they're looking at what Cloyce is doing, and Cloyce is now, he's being judicious and industrious. And he is working on some sort of dessert that looks like a fried egg, but is really mango.
Yeah. And so they're like, wow, what is this? It looks like egg. It's not an egg. Crazy times. These are crazy times we're living in.
And Cloyce is like, taste it. Sodium alginate blended into water, and it reacts with the calcium lactate glutenate that I blended into the mango.
Have I learned English, or was it all a waste of time? I want my money back. What the fuck are you talking about, man?
Can I put this in my hair to make it straighter? So, Cloyce is like, I think that last charter went pretty well, and like the guests seem to have enjoyed it. And it just, I'm hoping that we can ride this high to the next charter. And, you know, celebrating a 50th birthday is kind of a big deal. So getting worse is definitely not an option.
This person is obviously not 50, because that's going to be the theme of my 50th birthday. Getting worse.
Getting worse is not.
Welcome to my 50th birthday. I'm embracing getting worse.
So, listen, I support it.
Fuck this positive shit. I'm getting worse. That's it. My knees hurt. Welcome to my 50th birthday. It's all downhill from here, okay? Let's do this together, people.
Let's do it. So Daisy and Gary are doing their final checks. And then one thing that happened last episode is that Daisy and Gary have moved in together as roomies. So Gary, like, knocks on the cabin door. She's like, Kara, you don't have to knock to come in here. It's your room, too. He's like, sorry, I think I do. He's like, well, you think I'll just be lying here naked, Gara? He's like, well, a man can dream.
Rooming with Gary, it's the right decision. I know where he is. I can keep an eye on him. Like, if you have a relationship with someone, sometimes you find each other really sexy, and then sometimes you hate each other. But right now, I'm just trying to get Gary to be better for himself and our children. Did I say that out loud? God damn it, Isaac!
So Gary's like,
well, I think that if we can spend time on a boat together in a small cabin, living in a house together would seem like a breeze.
So they're like, I snore. No, I don't. You snore. No, I don't. No, you do. It's like that, but it sounds like this and like this and like this and like this. It's like pirates doing like really cutesy talk to each other, you know?
Meanwhile, Diana finally gets her shot to flirt with Chase. Chase walks up and is like, hey, have the guys just been stealing your Dyson attachments? And she's like, I'm sure they take them sometimes. Oh, so you're gonna hurt me if I take yours? Ha ha ha.
And she's like, oh, God, is that a yes? All right, well, I'm trying. Here's a lollipop. I'll see you later. I'll try again later. Got your nose. Give me back my fucking nose or sleep with fish. Hey, jeez. It's my thumb. Oh, now I'm thumb nose. Great. Get the fuck out of here. Love you. Call me. Yeah.
So the guests are arriving. So here come the guests. Here are the guests. Guests have come on board. So now Daisy gives like the whole the boat tour and everything.
Oh, look at the guests. A bunch of MILFs.
That's what I said. A bunch of hot moms I'd like to friend zone.
And then Keith turns to Cloyce and is like, yeah, I feel like you might leave with a sugar mama. And he's like, so Danny is now she's like, can I get you anything else? And this woman, Ronnie's like, who's your mixologist? She's like, well, it depends on the cocktail. Apparently my best is an espresso martini. And the lady's like, yes, espresso martinis. Woo, Danny.
And Ronnie's like, and the rule, Danny, always focus on me. I'm Ronnie.
So
shouldn't
she's
have told
like,
the jellyfish that.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, be careful. Don't say that too loud. The whole ocean's like, get her.
You don't say that when King Neptune is here. Yeah.
So then later, Danny and Diana are making like small work talk, and Danny's like, "Should we put the stripes on there?" And Diana's like, "Oh man, I really need to use straps for something else. Oh, I'm so horny, bro. I need six."
Which I think was like her little way of saying, "Actually, I want to go after Chase." But, you know, I mean, it doesn't matter if you're subtle or you're blatant. Danny is still going to go after Chase because she's going to decide that he's hers. But I think that maybe Diana should maybe be a little bit more blatant about it if she's going to deal with a nit like Danny.
I think she was pretty blatant last week when she was like, I want that one. Danny's like,
did she say that to Dan? Did she say that?
I think
to Danny?
They both were like, I want him. I mean, both when he came on, they were both like, I want him. But I don't think she told him you've taken every guy so far, so I get him. But that's also just not how it works. I mean, the person involved should have some say in it, right? I guess. But then I think that Danny does end up with Chase, so I guess it shows that does work. You know, you got to stake your claim. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. So, meanwhile, there's something about moving your car back. So Glenn asks Gary to do something, and Chase comes in to help moving a car back or whatever. It's some sort of terminology. And Chase is just really helpful, and he's just really good at what he's doing, unlike Emma. And Glenn's like, I'm just really happy to have someone of Chase's caliber back on board. He's like the cave of deckhands, you know, just really awesome. And you know, if Gary's able to put the personal stuff aside, then I'm feeling really good about this. Kind of like the first time I went into a cave, actually.
So Danny comes up and she's like, oh, Chase, I got some really good photos of you guys. And he's like, oh, did you? You got one of me dancing? Whoa, I love action shots. God, what a selfless photographer. That's great. Let me see. And they start flicking through her phone, and I could have sworn this was going to be a gay move. I mean, I don't know. Do straight people do that where you start flicking through your phone and you're like, whoops, there's my dick pic?
I thought that was gonna happen too. Like, oh, that's me with my bra. Sorry. Whoops, you weren't supposed to see that.
Sorry, it's me, my bikini. You know, I thought it was gonna be definitely like, I was just taking pictures from my friends back home, you know.
Yeah, I thought that was 100% what it was gonna be. And meanwhile, you know, Diana is actually working.
By the way, I don't actually show my dick to people on dick pics, like casually in a bar, but it has been done to me enough times that I'm like, oh, are we doing that now? Where we're just like, oh, hey, let me show you a picture of my dog. And then they're like, oh, and I say, well, whose dick is that? And they're like, sorry. It's happened enough times that I'm like, wow, I guess I'm supposed to have dick pics in my phone. I just can't. I have too many people with like kids in my life that I can't just be like, hey, I'm just going to have random dick pics hanging out on my phone. Also, nobody needs my dick pic.
I gave my mom my phone the other night. I was like, hey, look at this picture. This is a picture from London. And then she's like, great. And then she just starts scrolling. I was like, this is why you can't have dick pics on, because I can't have my mom.
Yeah, that's how my whole family is. They're like, oh, let me see it. And then they've got my phone for an hour. And they're like, hey, wait a minute. What does this mean? What is a doge? What is a doge e-coin? I'm like, get the hell out of there.
But meanwhile,
also, you want to talk about someone who's not photogenic? My dick. Oh, my God. I've never seen somebody less eager to take a picture. I'm like, first of all, come out of there. Come on. I'm like knocking on my fupa. I'm like, come on. I know you're in there. I've seen you before.
So anyway, while Danny is flirting with Chase, you get the sense that she should probably be working or helping out, because Diana is like scurrying around, making cocktails, you know, doing what she needs to do. And Danny, of course, is not working. Instead, she's flirting, which is the ongoing story of her season. And Diana is just muttering beneath her breath, which is her ongoing story of her season.
This girl.
Yeah. And then Daisy, it's they're sort of getting ready to start like serving lunch and everything. Daisy's talking to Cloyce about serving lunch, etc. And the guests start to, she tells the guests that they can sit for lunch. So they start heading to the table, and then she introduces the menu. And Diana is trying to serve them drinks. And Diana's like, there's no way I can fucking remember their names. They all look the same.
And so Daisy's like, wait a minute, did no rosé come? Because some girl's like, rosé, please. So she's looking for rosé, and she's like, ah, fuck, I didn't order rosé. Dun, dun, dun. Which I thought was pretty big of her to say, instead of, they forgot my fucking rosé. Because I feel like a lot of people would have been like, it's the company's fault. But Daisy's just like, I fucked it up. I really red dots on the couch to that one.
I think that they did get rosé, but it probably fell through the hole in the bottom of the boat. It just like just sank to the bottom of the ocean. They just patched it up. They're like, yeah, well, we saved the boat, but we lost the rosé. So this is the second season in a row, by the way, with a rosé emergency, because last season on Below Deck Med, we had that awful provisioner in Greece who like didn't get who took them 4 days to get them like a single bottle of rosé, and then the rosé turned out to be red wine.
Yes, it is. Rosé is a common storyline. You know, it's like on Housewives when they're like, guess what we're doing this season? Freezing vaginas. Every show is going to go to a freezing vagina place. And this one's like, okay, we're going to have rosé issues on every season of Below Deck. It's a theme.
Rosé issues. So Diana is actually able to find a single bottle of Miraval. So, you know, nice to see that they're supporting Brangelina with that. And then they're like off the hook a little bit, but they still have to get some more rosé.
So now everybody is going to sit. So we have our first meal, which is like watermelon feta salad, but it's done, you know, in a very fancy way, gastro way. And they also have mint consomme with a micro herb. And so they're like, so they order rosé again. So she's like, oh, fuck, you know. So then we move to Chase. So Gary and Chase are talking about, Gary's basically like, yeah, good first impression of everyone, which basically means, who do you want to stick your penis into? And Chase is like, well, everyone seems nice. I'll tell you this, though, people need to be a little bit more cautious because I've stolen about 3 noses today. Got him in the bag here. They know steel.
With the help of a teddy bear. So then Daisy's like, man, I messed up and I don't have rosé. Are we near a restaurant that I could pop in and buy one? And what I like is that the urgency of it all means that Glenn can't even get mad at Daisy. He's like, oh. She's like, I know it's annoying, but it is what it is. So come on, get me to a restaurant, Glenn. He's like, okay, we'll just try to do it quick. I swear, Glenn, I'll take you to a cave after this. Thanks for having my back.
I love this. She's like, can we get, is there a restaurant around? And then they just cut to them being in the middle of the ocean. He's like,
I don't think so, because we're in the ocean. We're in the Mediterranean Sea.
So they've decided to let Chase go find that, because he's been working hard. Here's the thing. He's been working hard, but then why are you punishing him by sending him with Danny? Like,
I know. So Chase and Danny go on to a tender of hell to go find this Rosé. Like, the worst place in the world at that moment was being on that tender. It's just two very annoying people bantering with each other and thinking that they are hilarious. Okay. Now, I know, like, you know, so, like, you know, banter can get out of hand. I get it. But, like, the last thing I need is to be on that tender.
Yeah, no kidding. The tender is going to wreck itself again. It's just going to keep... Why does that tender keep crashing into rocks? At first, I thought it was me. But then I realized the tender is just having a really, really tough season.
The tender has become... the tender has become prescient. Not prescient. Sentient.
Prescient.
And it's yes. The tender has woken up, has become sentient, and it's realized that it's being used by idiots. And now it's like, I want to go back to
and
being
it specifically
asleep.
Hates bad flirting, because the last time it crashed was when Gary was on it flirting with that dancer. Remember, he was taking the dancer back home. And he's like, ew, how long have you been dancing? And it was like, ugh. Like, the tender's just starting to bash its head into the rocks. And everyone's wondering why.
The tender is like, where are those orcas off the coast of Spain?
The tender's got, they come back. They're like, wait a minute. Why do you have orca stickers all over you? Who put those on you? It's like,
So I love that we have a sentient tender who hates flirting. So.
Here comes one right now. Have you ever wondered who created that bottle of sriracha that's living in your fridge? Or why nearly every house in America has at least one game of Monopoly? Introducing the best idea yet, a brand new podcast about the surprising origin stories of the products you're obsessed with. Listen to the best idea yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So anyway, Danny, the guests are playing with water toys, and then Danny tries to go to a restaurant, but it's closed and no one speaks English and everything. So she's telling Daisy and everything. And Daisy's like, well, try to do your best. Try to do a little reconnaissance, or try to find someone, because we're not in a huge rush. Sorry, I almost said my huge rush voice, but we're actually not in a huge rush. So go have fun. Yeah. So, Daisy's like, I can't believe the fucking store is closed. I don't want to hear about us running out of rosé. So since no matter what, do not come back on this boat. Without the fucking rosé.
So she finally finds a restaurant and gets some rosé. And she's like, I'm just so stoked that we got this done. I reckon that Chase and I do make a good team. We get shit done and still manage to have fun. And that's all I've needed for the past 4 weeks. And I finally fucking got it. He's my little rosé-seeking compadre. And then as they go back to the boat, they laugh at everything and just point at things. Like, that's rocks. Oh my God, it is rocks. And they laugh. And then they see kids and they're like, go faster, kids. Oh my God, he loves yelling innocent things at children too. We're basically married.
Literally the worst people. So Daisy, they come back and everyone's changing for dinner and everything, and Danny's setting the table. Chloe's talking about how he's going to be doing some sort of tuna crispy rice and hamachi crudo for dinner and some other stuff and a fried rice. Oh, wait, then he says he's going to make this fried egg dessert, and Daisy's like, oh, so it's like a fried egg. I don't know whether I should lecture you and say, in 13 years of being a hat chief stew, I've never seen a fried egg for dessert, Chase. Voice.
Because Daisy is also, like, she's been doing this for a while, but she doesn't really pay attention to the fancy food, which I love when she's like, what, how do you pronounce this? He's like, tomahawk. Right. What is that? So I like when he goes, I'm going to do a tuna crispy rice and hamachi crudo and then black miso marinated cod. And she just looks at him with her one eye cocked like, is that
it
English?
Is, doers,
is he talking
care.
About food or calling for a cab? I can't really understand what he's saying.
Yeah, so let's try to work on the timing just so there's not too much time in between, Glyce. He's like, listen, the ladies are here to celebrate a sexy 5-0, so I want the food to be perfect, and I want communication in the interior staff to be perfect. So if all goes exactly according to plan, everything's going to be pretty sexy.
So she's like, do ask for help if you need it, but I'm going to be excited to see your dinner. And she says it in that kind of way, like, you're about to fail and I can't wait. And he's like, me yeah. too, Daisy. And I was like, I don't think she meant it that way. So then Danny and Diana are talking. And so Danny's like, Anthony, you know Anthony. Remember him from the O Beach Club? Gave me a couple of O's. Thank you. Anthony's like, when are you going to go out again? When can I see you again? I'm like,
But Chase is like fucking like hot as hell, and he like winked at me, and I like malfunctioned, like I just couldn't. But it's like, oh my god, I'm gonna get a text from Anthony. But then Chase is like winking at me. I'm like, oh my god, like so many men, am I right? And Diana's just like folding napkins, like I really don't care. Like Danny is this girl who sits there and prattles on about all the guys who like her as if anyone gives a fuck, and I guarantee you no one does.
So then Danny's like, I was just like, what? I mean, all right, looks good to me, you know? And Danny's just like, Danny's just like, oh God, please die in fire. Please die in fire. Yeah. And then Daisy is saying, Chloe, so guests are ready to come. Can I seat them? And Danny's like, go ahead and she tells Danny, go ahead and seat the guests. And so then she seats the guests and stuff. So now what's the chorus? It's the tuna. Dun, dun, dun. So now Daisy is radioing Cloyce, I've cleared. And he's like, ugh, I need to know before you've cleared. That doesn't really help much. And he's kind of muttering to himself. And then she radios the girls to come for service and do cocktails and stuff. But now Cloyce is starting to get his panties in a wad about not, because she is communicating, he's not liking that she's communicating. I don't know what's wrong with him if he's running behind, but he seems to be blaming her for problems that haven't appeared yet.
Well, I don't think he's hearing it, and he's still not, like, when she's saying we've cleared, he's always, like, she's saying we've cleared, you know? And so the next big thing that happens is that, it's in here a little bit, but, like, it's something where she says it and it's like he doesn't hear it. And so then he asks Danny, because he goes, have you been up there recently? And she's like, no. And he goes, well, I need to know where they're at with the meal. But Daisy just said that we're clearing. So he didn't hear it. And then he's asking Danny this. And then, of course, Daisy literally just says next, we're clearing and moving stuff downstairs. Because something that happens in the middle here is that it's getting windy. So the guests want to go from sitting upstairs. Because earlier at lunch, by the way, the guests are kind of funny because they seem by and large pretty cool, but they have like definite standards. And they're like, are we going to be eating every meal at this table? I don't think I want to have every meal at this table. We're not going to eat every meal at this table, right? Like, let's get to like some table variety. I mean, seven star hotel on the ocean needs to have table variety, right? Okay. So this time they sat them upstairs, but it got too windy. So now they're going downstairs. So Daisy says we're clearing and moving stuff downstairs.
Right. And then they start moving, but Cloyce is getting annoyed. By the way, you know, not to belittle what he's doing, because he does seem to be doing a good job, but he's serving yellowtail. I mean, it's like literally sushi. So it can be plated. You know what I mean? And he is using the blowtorch to sear it or whatever as it goes out, but it's still like a cold plate of food. Like, I think you're going to be okay. It's weird that he's getting his panties in a bunch about it. And then, yeah. And why am I saying panties in a bunch? And then Danny is not helping because he's like, so Danny, could you just let me know like where we are with the meal? She's like, it's not my job. Why are you acting like it's my job to tell you this stuff? It is your job. You're a fucking server and you should know where they are in the meal. And if the chef asks you where they are in the meal, you should know to tell him. He's not yelling at you. He's asking you what's going on. You don't act like it's not your fucking job. It's your job, ma'am.
So then Cloyce then asks, so when they're moving downstairs, Daisy, again, she radios and says, we are clearing and moving stuff downstairs. And then Cloyce is like, Danny, are we ready? And she's like, well, we've only just finished seating, but because we have to move things downstairs. And then he's like, ugh. And then she's like, I don't know why you're acting like it's my job to tell you. And then he says, well, I'm glad I asked you. Can you tell Daisy we're coming up with plates? Like, I'm glad I asked you. Daisy is the one who said we are moving stuff downstairs. So he's just not listening.
Yeah. And then so now Glenn is standing with the guests who have moved, but they're standing at the bar. And he's like, this is the greatest time to regale you about a story about a rockfish that I saw in Hawaii, guys. So let me tell you, he had this weird color under his armpit. And guess what that meant? He was poisonous. And the only reason I know that isn't because I read about rockfish armpits being poisonous, but because I was with this Australian nurse that I met in a cave. And she was like, look at the rockfish. His armpit's pretty. And then she died. So I pretty much knew at that point we were in Wait a minute. What about the nurse? Oh, yeah. Her name was, I think, Marva. I don't really remember. I thought it was a funny name because with an L, it could have been like a baby something, like a worm maybe. So anyway, rockfish, am I right?
I mean, she just was so excited to see a rockfish because, I mean, look, when you live in a cave and you see something called a rockfish, it's just natural you want to go up and pet it. But you know what? Unfortunately, it was poisonous. So even though she was a nurse, there was only so much she could really do. You know, the funny thing is we found out about the rockfish from a cave painting. Yeah, we used to look at that rockfish cave painting all the time. Never mentioned that it was poisonous, though. So a note to that painter, you should probably put a warning. Oh, God, it was fun. And here's another thing about rockfish.
Poor Marva. All she really wanted to do was go to a concert. It's rough living in a cave. But she went to see some rockfish and ended up dying from rockfish armpits. Oh, well. So he's just going and going. Meanwhile, they're coming up with plates and kind of looking at him like, let's move this along. And Daisy's like, this is the longest story about the fish I've ever heard.
So she has to interrupt, and she's like, normally, you know, normally in these situations, you know, you look for a lull to interrupt and say, you know, bring people to the table. But Glenn is not lulling. There's no lull.
So now Cloyce is getting annoyed. He's like, I'm getting annoyed at this point because she's telling me all the time I'm the greatest chief stew ever. Well, you've been doing it 12 years? Well, maybe now's a good time to enact some of that decades of knowledge and fucking tell me the guests aren't even at the table yet. Oh my God, your yellowtail will wait, okay? And by the way, you're serving two raw things in a row. Loser.
Loser.
Like it's even a thing. That's not even a thing that you can't serve two raw things in a row, by the way. I'm just annoyed by him, so I'm going to come up with any reason to be mad at him now.
So so then Cloyce, they're now asking Cloyce like about his background, and he's like, I'm from Anaheim, California, and I'm 22, and I learned how to cook on Space Mountain. And they're like, wow. I'm 28 and I still can't even use a microwave.
But by the way, that's not what your background means. Yeah. You're not asking where you're from and how old you are. This isn't American Idol. They're saying, like, where have you trained? Who says that? I'm from Anaheim and I'm 22. Like, wow, congratulations. Here's a Nobel Prize for being young, okay? Where have you worked, sir?
So then Danny goes up to Daisy. Daisy's like doing some work, and Danny's like, Cloyce has been like snapping like nonstop, which by the way, he didn't snap. And then she goes, and then even earlier, like with the plating and stuff, he's like, oh, Daisy only tells me when you're clearing. Like, you never tell me when anything's actually going on. Isn't that like crazy? It's so crazy. You should maybe like get mad at him because he like snapped at me and it wasn't cool. He didn't give me like the positive male attention I was looking for. So you should get him in trouble.
Yeah, here she goes, starting shit because she didn't want to stand up to him herself or communicate properly. So she's going to have Daisy yell at him. And Daisy also falls for it. You know, Daisy does talk about how professional she is. And she really is so unprofessional sometimes. She's like, oh, really? Really, I'm supposed to? And she marches down the stairs like, Cloyce, I need commit. Wait, where is Cloyce?
I know. I love that. She was all ready to rip into him. Where the hell is he? So then she's like, this is such a bullshit comment. He wants communication from me, but he isn't willing to give me the same back. It's a fucking one-sided way on this boat, which makes sense since this boat does tend to tilt to one side. But either way, I'm fucking sick of it.
Well, what's the matter? Is he taking too long? It's like, some people don't understand communication. Well, some people understand that communication isn't necessarily walking in and sticking your finger in someone's face and like ripping them to shreds, dude. Jeez.
Some people don't understand communication. They just serve food when they want to. But some of us are bringing place to the guests.
It's my turn, boys. Daisy is Mama Rose. Yikes. So, Glenn checks in with Cloyce. He's like, everything cool? Sing of Tears and the drama with him. He's like, yeah. Okay, Daisy, we're ready to clear whenever you are, madame.
God damn it. Don't have time to sit there and babysit somebody.
And Glenn's like, okay, don't let it get to you. Like, let's solve it after dinner. And which, of course, means another Rockfish story. God, I got a doozy coming up.
Moral of the story, don't end up like Marva.
All right, Cloyce, radio. Cloyce, Daisy. We're currently clearing. It'll take us 3 seconds to walk to the table and clear. All right? All right. We've cleared now. Now we'll be to the galley in 40 seconds. I'm just not in the mood right there.
So passive aggressive. So then he serves the fried egg dessert, and then finally she can yell at him. She's like, Cloyce, if you have a problem with timing, you need to speak to me about it, not the girls. He's like, oh, about what? Well, also, you weren't making snippy comments to the girls about timing. She goes, well, I did, and it helps when you guys share with me where you're at in the meal and not when we're at the end. He goes, okay, well, there are several things there. You need to tell me. I need a 2-minute call, a 5-minute call, and like the communication goes both ways. I cannot stand there just telling you how far they are. I'm doing cocktails. I'm doing things. I'm wiping down shit that Gary left on our cabin wall, if you know what I'm saying. I'm doing lots of things.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I know you're doing 100 things, and that's why I try not to hold that against you either. And she's like, well, all right. Well, here's another finger going up. What I'm more mad about is you snapping at the girls. That creates a big circle of miscommunication.
He's like, okay, well, I'm sorry that happened. Yeah, that's obviously not good.
And she's like, well, all right. Well, number three, this isn't for me, by the way, Cloyce. Just to let you know, this is for you. My service is great.
And it's like, yeah, that's great. I really appreciate that. She's like,
she just starts. Is this when she just starts to smile?
She's like, what do I do? Like, she's ready to just let this have the biggest fight ever. And this guy's just like looking at her like, you're so right, Daisy. You're amazing. I love everything you do.
Cracking up. Just the way she started to smile, like, oh, that was easy. But also, like, this is, it's almost like she realizes in that moment how ridiculous, not ridiculous, but like how worked up she had gotten. And she just starts laughing at herself almost. I felt like she was laughing at herself too. Like, oh, I really was just going in on this guy. And so she's like, so, all right, well, so it could be with your timing that changes. So guests are sitting there awkwardly. We're still learning, right? Because my service is great. I don't know what to do. You're not fighting back. So this is strange for me.
For sure. It's great. You're great. Everything's great. She's like, okay, so have we reached a conclusion? He's like, great. Yeah. And she just starts cracking up. And he tells us, yeah, Daisy's intensity is so attractive. You know, sometimes when she's yelling at me, I have to admit I'm not really paying attention. It's easy to get lost in like her smile. And her eyes
just cut to Daisy's like cock pirate eye, like furious, like, you got it.
Where are the straws? So
she's just so beautiful.
So everyone goes,
not that
sleep.
She's not. It's just Daisy yelling at somebody like all hunched over with their finger in your face and one eye cocked like that. He's like, God, she's beautiful.
It's just like, cracks Daisy.
So
this is definitely the best part of the season. I died laughing.
I thought it was so funny. So now it's the next day. Crew is waking up and everything, and Chase goes up to Diana and is like, can I help? And she like shows him how to, she like puts a napkin through her ring, which is very suggestive, but he doesn't really pick up on it. And since she's not like super thirsty like Danny, she just sort of lets it be. Because Danny would be like, look at this napkin through the ring. Oh my God, reminds me of something, right, Chase? Right, Chase? Right, Chase?
I don't think I've ever been jealous of a napkin before, am I right?
But Diana's just like, well, I did it once and he didn't pick up on it, so what else can I do? Oh, well.
So Chase is like, wow, so great. She goes, how are things going with crew? And he's like, swimmingly, pun intended. Got it. Did you get it? All right. So everyone seems really nice, I guess. And she's like, even the ones that don't talk. And he goes, you talk. She goes, no, well, it's not that I don't talk, but you're focused on work. That's great. She goes, yes, it's just like when I focus, I do it like this. Ugh. He's like, yeah. Okay, well, this was super fun to talk to you. I'm going to go back. Just going back. Are you missing anything on your face? Where's my nose? Gotcha.
Diana's she's tricky to read. She's real quiet, but I'm extremely attracted to her. And the honest truth is that Danny and Diana are both stunning. And all my plans to just be single and do my job, those plans are in trouble. I think I got my own nose.
So now in the morning, it becomes coffee battles with Ronnie. Ronnie, we see slowly starting to diva out because first it was like, are we always eating at this table? I don't really want to be at this table all the time. And then we start seeing where she's telling the people the food is great. But then to her friend, she's like, I mean, really? Can it use some salt? I mean, really? She's like starting to make little comments. And it seems like she's just kind of keeping that diva in. But she's letting it a little more out today. She's like, Daisy, get me a coffee. I want it with cream and a little sugar, but please not too much sugar. Oh, all right. I like my coffee the same. Daisy. God, that is just not enough sugar. I mean, it needs more sugar. All right. Then Daisy puts more sugar. Oh, God, I can't even drink. Just bring me tea. Just bring her the fucking milk and sugar. Now, why are you letting Ronnie boss you around and run you up and down the stairs? She's obviously getting off on it. Bring her the fucking milk and sugar and tell her to shut the fuck up with your face. Yeah, I mean, not your words. But.
Seriously. Or Ronnie, you show her exactly how you like your coffee. It's really not that hard. So, but don't worry, the universe works in mysterious ways. So after this coffee situation, they start playing on water toys. They're out in the water. They're having a nice time. And then Ronnie's like, oh, my God. And she comes back to the boat, and she has been stung by a jellyfish.
Who was clearly in service.
Yeah.
So they get her, and she's like, ah! And Glenn's like, whoa, you know what stung you? It's called a cyst, and you can put alcohol right on it. You can do it.
All right, then call me a cyst, because I'm ready to party.
Danny, not now. All right, God, he's mean to me. All right, we're going to get this. I'm going to grab it easily. We're going to try and get that and kill it with alcohol, okay?
We really need to get this stinger out. It kind of reminds me of when we saw that rockfish and Marva was just dying there on the side. And we're like, well, we should get the stinger out of Marva, but that we didn't want to get her. And we also wanted to have more time with the rockfish, too. It's like, Glenn, please focus on Ronnie's leg. Oh, sorry about that.
So they do get it out. And Daisy is... So then Chase and Daisy are talking later. And Daisy's like, didn't you miss drinking with me? He's like... Actually, yeah. And Chase says that to her. And he's like, yeah, I can tell everyone's been on their best behavior on this boat. She goes, really? How can you tell that? He's like, because I haven't heard any awful stories. And she goes, all right, well, here's one. Danny and Gary kissed. Danny and Gary.
I was so happy that Daisy did that. Only just because Danny is such a brat. And I was just happy. It was such a dick move of Daisy, but I supported it. And, you know, and Danny's like, oh. Daisy's like, oh, yeah. And she also she almost had a thing with Keith, too. And there's a guy at the beach club. And that jellyfish. Oh, yeah. She has history with that jellyfish, too. There really is nothing in Ibiza that she hasn't really tried to go after.
And she goes, I'm being a bitch because I'm not involved in any of it. So I might as well embarrass everyone.
Well, at least she didn't bring up the guy from the beach club, right?
She actually did not bring up Anthony.
Yeah, I thought that was nice because that's her third. And so Danny's like, absolutely nothing happened with Keith and Gary. It was a literal fun thing that we both decided was a one-time thing. And Daisy goes, oh, I mean, she wasn't. She goes, Daisy, I mean, I can take a joke. I'm fine, Daisy.
And Daisy's like, well, I shouldn't have said anything. Donnie, don't be upset because Danny goes off to another room. Oh, God, this is how she acted the day after she slept with a guy from Ibiza. Oh, did I say that part out loud? Apologies. Apologies. But she did sleep with him right in that room over there.
And Danny's like, great, I don't want the reminder. Like, she's so mad. And she goes, you know what? I don't want the reminder here. And if you're trying to do plant something in his head, that's not great, which is karma for you, because that's constantly what you're doing is planting, planting, planting. And she's like, this is why I'm not friends with most girls. No, you're not friends with most girls. The same reason I'm not friends with, like, cookie monsters, okay? Because you want all the cookies. That is why you're not friends with the girls. Stop acting like girls are so jealous of you and this and that. You're not friends with girls because you look at them all like competition, and all you need is male validation, and you don't want anybody stealing that from you. You are so fucking textbook. Team Daisy on this one. I thought it was hilarious. It was great. And if there's no shame in your game, then you shouldn't be all offended. You should be like, yeah, I've had to try so many guys here and you're the first decent one, you know, like own your shit, babe.
Yeah, absolutely. No, she's insufferable. But that was the end of the episode. So thanks everyone for being here. Go get your tickets to our tour at watchercrappins.com, and we will catch you later this week with tons and tons of Real Housewives recaps, etc. Catch you on the next one.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
Dana C. Dana Do.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Jamie, she has no last namey. You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sip Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Bringing the Funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Always Killing It, it's Lola Alkalani.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Have a heck of a time with Rebecca.
The highest tally, it's Sarah McNally.
Cast a Spell with Shannon Spellman.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's Get Real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't Get Salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony, Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Let's Go on a Bender with Lauren Fender.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
The incredible edible Matthews Sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Ring that bell for Rachel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.